Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, get downstairs. Mommy's coming home.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smoke & Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hey, welcome to the show. Boy, I'm cutting it kind of close here. I'll explain why that is in a second as soon as I clean up the beer that I just spilled all over my studio chair and the floor underneath it, because my studio chair has a mesh seat for my bottom. All righty, hang on one second. Go, talk to me.
Hey, so you didn't explain why you spilled your beer.
Do what?
You didn't really explain why you spilled your beer.
You I'm still in shock.
In
I might have to cancel the show if I don't have a beer in hand.
Oh, wait. I brought two more up with me to the studio.
All right. Going to be a short show.
So here's what happened. It's not really funny or weird or entertaining at all, but the kid was asleep in the studio for a nap, and the wife had left to go to the market, so I was downstairs alone, just going to do the show from there, and then I get a call from the wife. She's saying, hey, I'm almost home, and I say, great, well, I'm going to go upstairs, and so I'm coming upstairs, and I've got, my laptop. I'm somehow carrying a laptop and three beers, one of which is open, up the stairs. I get to the top of the stairs, and there's my kid, who's awake now, just standing there blocking the stairs. So I maneuver around him, and I say, dude, get downstairs, your mom's home, not realizing that she wasn't home yet. And so I come into the studio, and it's dark. I've still got a laptop and three beers. I try to set one beer down. It lands. I set it down half off and half on the table, so it flips onto my chair and spills, and I can't see where it's at because it's dark. I'm seeing by, screen light, you know? But the seat of the chair is like a wicker thing, right? So it doesn't just stay in the chair. It goes, through the chair, all over the chair, through the chair, onto the floor. So I'm slipping and sliding trying to get to the light on the other side of the room, which is poor design. All the while, the intro is going on, and you can hear me, obviously. So I finally... I'm sitting down, and my ass is dry, so that's all that's important at this point.
So, basically, it sounds... Did you get stoned, right before this happened?
Did I get what?
Did you get stoned?
Did I get stoned?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. I may have gotten a contact high.
I'm just saying that because it seems like something like that happens every time I decide to smoke weed.
So at least daily.
Right, yeah. Twice daily.
Twice daily. Once at work and then again at work.
Yes. Always before 5 o'clock. Used to be before
absolutely.
Used to be before 10 o'clock AM, but I've kind of switched that up a little bit. Doesn't make for a very productive day.
No.
Actually, funny thing is, I used to say never before 5 o'clock. Now I say never before noon.
You know what? Here's a funny story for you. I think this happened back in Roehampton days. I don't remember. Yeah, I did, because I started working at Double Dave's in Roehampton days. So I would open the store with this other derelict at early in the morning, and we would get there. And this is in when I was all having weed and stuff. And so we had to make the cheese sticks, right, the bread sticks. But what we would do is we'd take a bowl full of butter and put a bunch of weed in it and boil it through the deal so it had it became weed butter. And so we'd spread that all over some dough and run that through and make these weed bread sticks that we'd eat the whole morning we were prepping the store to get ready. So by the time it opened, we were just obliterated.
I think I had one of those cheese sticks, but I think you guys put that out on the line accidentally.
Yeah, you probably just grabbed that off the buffet.
Right. It was extra strength. Nothing like whipping your well, I mean, you almost have to figure that 99% of people that came in to Double Dave in that area were stoned anyway, so they probably wouldn't even have known if they were just more stoned.
Well, we had one kid who had he was pretty new at the time we started doing this, and he came in and we had him sitting out and he ate them all, and he had never had weed before and we didn't know it until he kind of started freaking out and he's like, "Why do I feel so weird?" And we're like, "Well, you've had weed breadsticks, right?" He's like, "I've never had weed in my life." And he started just going out of his mind.
Did he finish his shift?
Did he say what?
Did he finish his shift?
I think he did, actually. He managed to kind of be a trooper and make it through, but I don't remember him enjoying most of it.
That's a gutsy kid right there.
Yeah,
that's
no
a gutsy
kidding.
Kid.
If I remember right, he didn't seem like a gutsy kid at all. But
he like, remember Furley?
Yeah, sort of. I remember the name.
That guy, that friend of, what was that guy's name? Who was the guy that got thrown down and handcuffed inside the store?
I don't remember, but I do remember Furley now. He was
Richard.
Kind of a weird...
Richard!
Who?
Richard,
I don't remember
name.
That.
He was like a Mexican guy with long hair, like a theater guy.
Uh-huh.
And he had that friend of his, Furley, that had some... He was like a really wild character. I mean, I've never
met
anybody like
him
that, really.
Yeah, the guy Furley was off kilter. Didn't he have... He did like some bit where he had a bunch of music recorded on tape, and he would basically karaoke to it or something.
He was like, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that the guy Furley was doing theater art, but maybe he was way ahead of his time.
Well, when you think about the time, I still don't even see many people doing that these days. And well, I think that's evolved in what they call like dubstep or whatever. But yeah, I remember him having like a tape cassette thing, and he'd play guitar and sing, but have like a whole backup band.
Yeah, and then he would also like break dance and shit like that.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he used to, like, take, like, four hits of acid and go do one of the shows.
Oh, good Lord. I didn't know that.
And
that
his
explains
constitution,
a lot,
he was like a twig, dude. He, like, had some kind of deformity and shit. It was insane. That's a guy.
I do remember him. I mean, I do remember him having some sort of biological thing going on. But
yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
I wonder what would happen if you Googled Furley. You think this guy would come up?
What?
I'm going to Google Furley and see if this guy comes up.
He opened a skate shop in San Marcos that was there for a long time.
Did he really?
Yeah, and I don't think he could skate, but I think he just idolized skaters. Because I seem to recall him not physically being able to actually skate.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not. There's no way. But, interesting. Hey, you know what I was thinking when I was listening to the intro of the show? What if there is, like, some aliens out there listening to us? I'm assuming the aliens are smarter than us, so their radios are probably better. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So they could probably hear, like, stuff on from our planet, would you think?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
You think they would have to pay for it?
Well, should we charge aliens to listen to us?
I mean, it only really makes sense, doesn't it? Let's sue the universe.
Yes.
Let's just sue the universe.
Yeah, especially if they're, like, burning it on CDs and passing it around.
Right. Copyright infringement.
Wow. Do you know what kind of press it would get if Hypersloth sued the galaxy?
I know. Where do we file that? Where do you file that?
I don't know. Who would you sue? I mean, I guess you could sue NASA. But they're not really a part of it.
No, I mean, we just have to sue the galaxy just for, like, if say, aliens do come here, then they have to fucking pay us what they owe us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it'd have to be retroactive for sure. They wouldn't be grandfathered in.
No, I mean, they would have to pay us like some kind of back rights or something. So that's something to probably get legal on that. I wonder if I could just file it across the street here at the courthouse and where I live.
I know what you should do is you should take a camera, a hidden camera in there, and just go in there and ask and film it just to see what the fuck happens. Yeah, I need to sue the galaxy for any royalties we might be losing from.
Why don't I just call him up? Just call him and get it on the phone. And be
you should call him up. You should call them up and, like, cite a whole bunch of things and be like, yeah, you know, I mean, the government's been covering up this whole alien thing for a while. It's obviously, you know, they're out there listening to us. I want my cut of the pie. You know, I mean, ever since Roswell, we know these guys have been out there skimming our radio stations. I think it's owed to me that I get some money back. Who do I sue?
I would just say to the lady, I'd be real straightforward, like, not even say anything about aliens or anything. Say, who do I talk to about suing the galaxy?
Hyperstar files first galactic lawsuit.
Right, exactly. Preemptive lawsuit.
That's right. It is preemptive. We're trying to set precedent before it becomes an issue.
Right. Now, yeah. So then we, like, make the law ourselves. We just come up with the law.
Wow.
That's something we need to look into. You know what sucks? We're going to find out that Steve Jobs probably already did that.
Yeah, I'm sure something's been worked out even with the aliens at this point.
Probably. They probably just have to pay $39.95 a month like everybody else.
Yeah, they have a monthly. It comes out of their galactic PayPal account.
Right, yeah. So they have to set one up.
It's all in Bitcoin, though.
Yes. You know that they are the ones manipulating the Bitcoin market, I'm sure. You know Bitcoins are worth a lot of money when a bunch of people donate some to a guy that says, "Send me some money."
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Did you read this?
Yeah, I put it on the Facebook page.
Okay, yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
What a world. I mean, what the fuck?
I guess we're going to find out if Bitcoins are real money or not, because the IRS is probably going to go after this guy. Or do they even have, like, a legal precedent to do so? I mean, Bitcoin's not really real recognized money.
Well, it has no I don't know what the right word is, but there's no jurisdiction, right? Because it just exists out there. I mean, it's not like a bank of Bitcoin. It's totally, like, cloud-based, I guess.
Right, and so, but the only place, where can you spend a Bitcoin now that the Silk Road's closed down?
That's a good question. I'm going to look it up because I can't see Bitcoin just going away.
No, I don't think so either, but I mean, you can't withdraw it. Could you buy a house with Bitcoin money or money you thought you were going to get for Bitcoin?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could at least buy virtual goods.
I guess what you do is you buy a virtual house and live in your car, and just like look at your TV screen through the TV screen on your computer.
Well, you've heard about that program. I don't know what it's called Second Life, right? Where it's like a virtual world, and people just go there and create and live.
Yeah.
That happens there. I don't think it uses Bitcoin, but people will, like, spend thousands of dollars on their credit card to buy houses. And there's like Second Life real estate companies that are actually like companies and shit. It's fucking stupid, but it's out there.
I mean, you're going to pay someone to make you a house that's online, and then you're going to buy it from someone else? That's fucking the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is dumb. And there's even like stores, because you can like, you know, you can dress your Second Life persona like a doll. So there's people that are that will design like custom clothes and stuff and open up shops and they'll fucking do business.
Why don't we open up a fucking head shop? We'll open up the virtual head shop.
Yes, we should do that.
I mean, think about it. People would probably go, I'm sure they have virtual bars and shit where people go and chat to each other basically, it's just bulletin boards with fucking pictures, right? I mean,
it would make money.
In real time. They're real people that you're talking to.
Yes, yeah. But, I had another point to add to that, and I just forgot it.
Well, what would we sell? I mean, is that what you're trying to say? What do you sell at an online head shop?
Yeah, I mean, it would be, you would create 3D images of hookahs and pipes and sell them. I mean, that's
right.
It.
And what we would do, dude, is we would tie that into the real fucking store that we opened somewhere and just fucking go gangbusters, balls out.
Oh my god, that's pretty wild.
You know, that's like free advertising or whatever you have to pay to build your storefront, I guess. Sell T-shirts.
You know,
that's
not a bad idea to like create a virtual storefront in Second Life for your real shop to get people drawn out of it. Wow.
Did it again.
Yep, did it again.
We've got to go through these tapes, honestly. You know, I would. I know there's like 20 more like that out there, is there not, Rufus? I know we've done.
Yeah, there is. Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
now
yeah.
What we do is we set up storefronts for people. That's our business. We set up storefront for your real fucking business inside of Second Life or any other one of those fucking weirdo Sims games.
Wow. So we become like Second Life branding specialists and open up
entirely.
Exactly.
Entire, like,
gee
and we
whiz,
tie it
man.
To your and we tie it to your brick and mortar. Or your virtual storefront.
So oh my god. Okay, so you can have you had the same products, right? You just had the virtual products.
Right.
If you buy the virtual product...
There you go. You bring it to the store, and you fucking trade it in.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like whenever you link your Second Life account to the company, right? So let's just pretend we're a Foot Locker. So your Second Life is linked to Foot Locker. So if you go online to your Second Life and buy your little character some Nikes, you can actually go to Foot Locker with your ID and say, look, I bought these Nikes, and get the real Nikes too.
Yes, but I think you're talking more of a discount at the brick and mortar than give them the whole banana. Get them in there to spend some money or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you could, it'd be more like a percentage off.
Yeah. I was with you with the idea of giving it to them too. They just virtually shop, but then people are so fucking lazy that no one would ever leave their house to go to your brick and mortar. Because eventually,
well, then you just tie it into a. Just when they buy it in the virtual store, you have the option to just have it. Yeah, fulfillment, have it shipped.
Jesus Christ! Did we just do this?
Yes, we did. People would actually start looking like they're fucking like virtual avatars because they could dress like them.
They can buy the stuff and have it sent to their fucking house. Oh. Yeah, basically now we're just talking a drop ship between us, the virtual storefront people, and then Amazon. We just need to get took a deal with Amazon. Fill all our
shit. Oh, my God. Okay, all right, so here's the deal. So we use Amazon Fulfillment to fulfill orders, virtual orders in Half-Life. But then there's also going to be a lot of products in Half-Life that don't exist in the real world, like stupid T-shirts that people make. So then we also set up a partnership with Cafe Press. So if you buy a T-shirt design in Second Life that doesn't really exist, you can just automatically send that to Cafe Press where it will print on demand a real T-shirt and then send that to you as well.
Fuck. Brilliance. Sheer brilliance. But you know what we accidentally did? You see what we did there, Rufus? We cut out
the
brick and mortar mom and pop operations.
That's true.
We went right to having Amazon fulfill the orders and Cafe Press.
Yeah,
you know,
so we made two big companies bigger.
Yes, exactly. In an effort to sell them our company for $1 billion. before it even starts.
Right.
Before we even have one thing. That's so we're just going and tell them our idea and say, look, just pay us now.
Just pay us now. Check it out, guys.
I mean, that's all a venture capitalist is, really. It's just someone that pays someone to get a piece of their pie. I mean, we really just need a venture capitalist.
Yeah, how do you get one of those?
You just go and pitch them an idea. It's just a pitch, like a sales pitch, to have to convince them.
Yeah.
Look, how many ideas do we have here, really? Honestly, not to mention the branding.
The minimum two ideas per show, and that's on a slow day.
I know, it's crazy. We were talking about aliens, and it turned into a virtual storefront business.
Well, that's what they call, what do they call that? There's a word for that. Brainstorming, is that the word, or is it?
Is that the word?
I think so.
It's to brainstorm. I like to call it a brain of cane.
Did you ever have, like, orchestrated brainstorming sessions in college where they're like, okay, you get in groups and brainstorm, and everybody just sat there and kind of stared at each other?
Right. No one had the guts to come up with the world's fucking best idea, probably, because they didn't want to sound
stupid.
Because
you were never paired with anyone that was smart enough to fucking brainstorm. It wasn't like me and you. It's like you and four other guys and some stupid women's studies chick, and they're just like, you know, too fucking for anything.
First thing you can't do, I think a bad brainstorming group is just all men or all women.
Yeah.
Because I think that what happens is when an all male brainstorming group gets together, they just probably talk about the chicks.
Yeah, they just kind of glance over at the all-female brainstorming session,
right,
and talk about who they bang.
Exactly what happens. So, you know, we need to talk about our friend Yuri, and now we got this other guy in the mix. I do have a question for you, Rufus, while I got you on the line. Do you have, like, a regular Skype number? Do you have, like, a Skype where I could just call you and Skype with you without it being on the radio?
Yeah, it's a San Antonio area code.
But it comes through, I could just Skype you?
Yeah, you just call it like a normal phone number, but it'll come through my Skype on my end.
Okay, can you give me that number, or do you not want to give it to me on the air?
I'll give it out on the air.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Go ahead. I like that attitude, Rube.
Are you ready?
Yes.
210.
All right.
767.
Okay.
3201.
All right. Cool. Do you use that a lot or not? You find that to come in pretty handy?
It does occasionally. You know, if I got to call somebody in the States, I don't have to pay out the ass calling from Nicaragua. I just use that number, and it's like a domestic call.
Wow. So, but I thought that when you pay for Skype, you get free calls from all around the world, right? Or not?
From Skype to Skype, but like if you're calling a number,
right,
like a business, right. So if they don't have a Skype account, I can just call their telephone. And what's cool is I have the Skype app on my phone, so I can actually use my phone like a fucking phone with my San Antonio phone number.
So, but the deal is I just can call you from this number from Skype, though, right? I mean, I know I can, but would it be easier for me to call your Skype account number?
Whatever's easier for you. I mean, you can just Skype me.
This is fine. That's what I meant. Skype you.
Yeah, but you can call that number from your telephone.
Right. I got you. But I figured we would just Skype, probably.
Yes.
Isn't that what friends do? Hey, don't friends Skype anymore? Don't people just Skype anymore?
Don't people just Skype? The good old days where people just used to Skype. Nobody ever Skypes face-to-face anymore.
Everyone was so innocent then.
Yeah.
No tag. It's before they thought that you could actually get, when people finally realized you could get naked on fucking Skype and shit, I mean, they killed porn. They fucking killed porn.
I don't see how that industry survives as an industry, because everything you could possibly imagine is just free.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I got to figure this. If you can't get enough fucking free porn, you are a sick motherfucker when you got to start paying for it. You probably need help.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Even if your fetish or whatever is mild, if you need so much of that one thing that you've got to subscribe to something, yeah, I mean, you've got an addiction.
Right,
it's
you
all
should
free.
Fucking be locked
even
up.
The weird shit is free.
Agreed. Here's, you know,
yeah,
I don't
see how that's a viable industry.
I thought of something. You know what we need to invent too, Rufus? Some guy about fucking crashed into me on the way here, and you probably don't have this happen to you over there in Nicaragua, but someone needs to invent a thing that blocks your fucking phone from taking and receiving texts while you're driving.
That's a good idea, man. I've had a similar thought back in the States when I was commuting from Kyle to Austin every day. And I totally agree.
I mean, you got to integrate it in both the phone and the thing. And you think there's a way to do it just so it just affects the driver?
I don't know. I think there'd probably be a big uprising against that because of, I don't know, people just don't like that kind of shit. But what you could make and fucking sell as a package is something that you could affix to your car so that your teenager couldn't text and drive. It would turn off their phone.
I mean, I think, my idea at the end of the day was make the fucking car companies integrate our idea into the car. In every car.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a safety device. And a breathalyzer.
Well, I mean,
what else can we add?
I think breathalyzers are done, right?
Yeah, that's only if you get in trouble. We want to make sure that everyone has to have one of these.
The problem with that idea now is that Google is actually, this is pretty devious. I don't know if you saw me post about this. But Google is investing like hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in building a car that just completely drives itself, where you just get in it and say, go here, and it'll drive. Even like modern traffic, you know, you don't have to wait for everybody to have these cars. It'll just still do it.
Dude, I'm all for that.
But they've admitted their reason for it is not safety, even though it would obviously be safe. It's because that'll give you more time to surf the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And interface with their advertising.
Right, I remember seeing that. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that, you could say that's devious, but it's still, it's like, you know, quote-unquote greed that still benefits humanity. But my point being that if shit like that's going to take over, then people can text anyway. So we'd have to fill the gap in the meantime.
This, you know what's going to happen? This is my idea of what's going to happen to society. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Open your mind up, dude. Open your brain might fall out. Watch out.
Okay.
basically, most jobs are going to be taken over by robots, like fucking manufacturing jobs and shit, right?
Yes.
And then what are all those people going to do? I don't know, but I'm saying it's going to be like called a butler industry where, you know, the only thing you can do that isn't automated is going to be like be a yoga instructor or a personal chef, you know what I mean? Like shit that people don't really want to do, but I mean there's not going to be any other jobs because everything will be automated.
So what you're saying is that you should get into the business of people like now, because pretty soon you're basically going to be like a staffing agency for butlers and sort of like the service industry?
Right, exactly. But, I mean, there'll be no...
That's
I don't know, it's going to... This what's going to happen is there's going to be like a really high class and a really fucking low class.
Right.
There will be no middle class. The middle class will be a thing of the past.
I just read an article last week, and I saw another mention of it today, where this company is basically about to obliterate the security industry, like mall cops and you know, security companies where you have a guy that just kind of patrols an apartment complex, because they built a fucking robot that'll do it, and it looks like R2-D2, and it just goes all over the fucking place, and it's hooked into the fucking 911 system, and it's got face recognition, and it just does all this stuff, and they say that, you know, within the next 10 years, that's going to be handled.
It's a Roomba with a cell phone attached.
Yeah, and vacuums too. That's the beauty.
Yeah, the security guy is going to be replaced by a Roomba and a cell phone. Things are looking really good.
Yeah.
What's a Roomba and a cell phone cost to operate a year, Rufus?
Do what?
I said what? What do you think it costs a Roomba and a cell phone to operate for a year?
Oh, geez, pennies on the dollar, man. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think you could get the budget package. You could get like the lowest Roomba with like a track phone attached to it for $49 a year. Or no, not track phone. You could get a Magic Jack.
With the amount of money that you're gonna save, you could replace that Roomba once a fucking week.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ.
Good job. Way to tell the people that right before Christmas, Rufus.
These security guys
are scrambling. They're fucking scrambling now.
Pretty soon, the only industry is going to be building the robots to do everything else. But then you know it'll be a bad day whenever you go in and they're like, okay, today we're going to start building the robots that build the robots.
Right. Well, I mean, robots obviously will be smarter than people. I mean, you have to figure that. They already are. I mean, a calculator is harder than a fucking person when you get down to ones and zeros.
I can't do any math without a calculator. No.
Me neither. Me and my wife were talking about that the other night. My daughter's learning, like, math stuff. We had our first parent-teacher conference, you know, and we go in and they're talking math stuff. I'm like, I don't know. She really likes math, but I'm like, I really suck at math. My wife, she said she sucked at math. Even the teacher's like, yeah, I really wasn't that good at math either. You know, and you're just trying to figure out, I mean, obviously I know that they take math because it stimulates the brain and thinking and problem solving and all that stuff. But, I mean, do you really need math? I mean, would your time be spent better, like, doing coding or something?
I think you're totally right, because coding, that's also a form of, like, problem solving shit out of puzzles, but it produces a result, you know? Just doing math on paper, what the fuck good is that? But if you can code something that does the math
tangible
for you. Right.
So what am I doing about emailing these guys back then? Is that something you feel comfortable talking about or not?
I'm totally comfortable talking about it. So one guy, he already gave you like phone numbers and shit and said, give me a call, right?
Right. Yes, he did. But I didn't want to call him without knowing really what I was going to tell the guy. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, dude. I mean, honestly, my gut says just fucking tell them everything, because that's the only way we're going to get the best feedback. But then this is the guy that can do it, and he might just be like, no, that's not for me, and then next week make it himself, you know? That's
right,
the problem. This is the guy that can do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one guy in Chicago sounded like he had no problem signing anything, but he's like some Russian dude, and his, you know, his credibility is legit. You know, it seems like, but he's a pretty scary looking dude on his LinkedIn photo.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. I just read your email.
I mean,
I didn't look at his photo.
Well, I did a little background poking on this guy. You know what I mean? I mean, he had a resume. The other guy wants to talk and didn't send a resume. He's the Austin guy.
Yeah,
who didn't send the resume, he just sent the phone numbers. And, you know, I don't want some slick fucking guy thinking that he's out there fucking stealing people's ideas and trying to make them work. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
Because obviously there's something like that that goes on, I'm sure.
I'm sure there is, too.
Call me up. I'm your best buddy. Hey, fuck.
Did you get my email? I sent an email earlier today. It was late this afternoon, where I said there's basically three things the thing has to do.
Right.
But I didn't say, like, why it had to do it.
Right.
But maybe if we just start there and say, look, this is the functionality that has to happen, and we don't really want to tell you why, you know, let's start there, and you tell us what other information you need, and maybe we'll let you know. I don't know. I mean, I'd rather start. It's like negotiating backwards. I'd rather tell the guy, here's the bare minimum we need it to do, and if he's like, well, you know, I understand why you wanted to do number three, but, you know, why exactly? Because I could do it in 50 different ways, and one way might be the best or something.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think we'll have to kind of feel it out.
And, you know, I'm almost...
Did you want to do a three-way?
I'm willing... Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing a three-way ever with you, Rufus.
Right. Well, of course not. No, I mean, we've done that before. That's no big deal.
Right, yeah.
But
we almost had a chance one time.
Did we?
Oh, yeah. When that,
don't tell me that.
Remember that blonde-haired nutty girl?
I've known a lot of those.
Oh, well, this was a special one that you brought back to Rohan. I won't get into it in case your wife ever listens to the show. I'm going to spare your son that.
I want my son to be a better man than me, so if he can ever have a three-way, he should.
Yes, he should.
I mean, not at this age, but
just as
eventually.
Long as it's that really for your son, you want something better than for yourself, so you want it to be two girls and a guy.
Yeah, he should have someone there to high-five, for sure. Should be a bonding moment.
And it should be, it should be another girl. It should be two girls and him, not a dude and one chick, or two dudes and one chick.
Right. Well, it could be him and two chicks. I don't care who holds the camera. That can be a guy or a girl.
Okay. There you go. So, wait, where were we headed with this? Oh, yeah.
If that one guy who gave you his numbers, if you're going to call him and you want to do, like, a three-way call, I'm totally game. I got my San Antonio number. Just let me know when
that's right.
When the call
is. I didn't even know you had that San Antonio number. That might actually come in handy. Should I hit the guy back, feel him out a little bit with another email or something? Or?
Oh, you broke up a bit. What was that?
The guy from Chicago, the Russian guy, though, I mean, he looks good on paper. But, shit, it's
yeah,
I saw. You don't know who you can trust.
I saw his stats. I mean, goddamn, I hate to say it, dude, but I think I'd trust a Russian more than an Austinite at this point.
That was my thought exactly.
At least, you know, Russians have some sort of, like, military discipline built into them, even if they're, like, mobsters, you know? They kind of have this code of honor
motherland. He's got a pretty good history of legitimate jobs.
That's good.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's been here, like, a year. And, you know, I mean, he's been here for a while.
I'm leaning towards that guy.
Well, I mean, honestly. I don't really care. I'll talk to both guys. But, I mean, maybe we need to just do a Skype call and try to figure out what we should say or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Not waste the listeners' time with it.
Yeah, I agree, because business is not funny.
No, it's not. This is serious business. You know what's funny? Is every time I'm thinking about it, I envision us on the top of some fucking giant penthouse somewhere with this whoever we decide to make rich with us, and it makes me laugh, actually. It makes me look forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah, me too.
But, I mean, now, I'm almost leaning towards maybe seeing what it would take money-wise to have someone pay someone to do this. What do you think of that?
Well, we put it out there on Elance with a minimum of information, so the bids might not have been good. But we had a bid for, I think, $500.
$500. I know. Could you imagine
from one guy.
Could you imagine that?
I don't remember where the guy's from. I think it was from India. And $500
yes,
in
India
is a shitload of fucking money. So that could be legit,
true.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like I don't live in a place, obviously, where you could go, and I don't, you know, I'm not like, hey, I need somebody to write some fucking code for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wish I did, trust me. I guess as close as I'm going to get, honestly, thinking about it, Rufus, is Chicago, where this guy works, the Russian guy.
Yeah. That's true. There's nothing around here for me, definitely.
Right, you're not going to go down to the local taqueria and see if anybody knows about writing some code?
Yeah, let me jump in one of these horse-drawn carriages and go down to the fucking tech lab.
Well, I mean, surprising though, Granada is it's a big city. It's a big town, right?
Yeah, I think it's about Austin size. No, it's not Austin size. It's maybe 350,000 people. But 80% of those people are not well off.
But there's got to be at least fucking 10, probably 1,000, or probably 200 coders in that city.
Yeah, but they only code in Spanish.
Well, I mean, we're going to need someone to do that eventually anyways.
Yeah, we got the Russian market locked down. But, I mean, I like the idea of having a guy on hand on a regular basis instead of just some dude in India that we pay once for one thing and then kind of lose track of him, you know?
Right. No, I understand that. I do understand that. I mean, now, percentage-wise, what do you think is the percentage number for a guy who's a tech co-founder? I mean, obviously, 33 1/3% is out of the fucking question.
No. I don't know. I think he threw out 20 or 25 in an email, and I'm okay with that. Maybe tell him 20 and see what he says.
Right.
I mean, it's 20% of nothing at this point, right? So it's not like he's got anything to lose.
No, but in the long run, after he hears the idea, he's probably going to immediately insist on a bigger fucking percentage, and he'll hold us hostage. Oh, God, what have we got ourselves into? You know what? Let's not even try. Let's just not even try with this.
I agree. I'm giving up is the easiest option.
Forget it. Let's just go back to T-shirts. Virtual T-shirts.
Go back to it? No, that's the way forward.
I'm joking.
Another good reason for having this guy in Chicago is just having legal recourse because he's in the States where you are. I mean, if he signs an NDA and moving forward, he's got to sign – even if we tell him the whole idea and we say, okay, you're the guy, I've worked for it, we're still going to have him sign a confidentiality agreement, right?
So, yeah, no matter what. Yeah, I mean, there's no way that we're not we're going to have him sign a confidentiality agreement before we even tell him to go ahead with the project.
Right. And so that makes it easier for us if something goes bad if he's in the States. Because, I mean, you're there. I'm still an American citizen. I'm just on a long vacation, right? So it'd be easier to go after him than somebody in India.
Right. No, I agree with that 100%. No doubt about that. Well, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to email you my thoughts on what we should tell this guy. You can email him back. We'll put it in a nice little work together thing for him and send it to him. And you know what? I want to hear back from the Russian guy. I want to hear back from the Russian guy because the guy from Austin didn't get back to us for like 10 days. So obviously it's not a priority for him. The other guy got back to us in 6 hours.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that Austin guy, I've pretty much written him off, actually. I was surprised that he hadn't responded at all.
Right. I think my hipster comment might have soured him a little bit. For all I know, he's probably a hipster. In which case, I don't want to work with him.
He's a coder in Austin. It doesn't get much more hipsterish than that.
Yeah, he used to be a graphic designer. He used to be a graphic designer, now it's a coder.
Oh, my God. He's got a – I'm just scared. I'm telling you this. He's got a handlebar mustache. He wears a small fedora. He wears a V-neck sweater with no sleeves. And he drinks Pabst, not because he likes it, but because it looks cool in his hand.
He abuses himself with Pabst for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
All right, well, let's – you know what? Why don't you Google that guy, Yuriv, and see what you think of his LinkedIn and all that bullshit if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it when we get off the show here. I think we're about to get cut off, actually. I've got 48 minutes.
Okay,